Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Scripture lesson today comes from Acts, chapter 2, starting with verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." This is the good news of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You pray with me. Eternal and gracious Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation, the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts today be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm still working on our theme that I started last week. I'm still working on what it means to be in vocation. Our Divine Vocation, Part 2. The morning text takes us to Acts chapter 2. Remember what happens in Acts chapter 2? It's the festival of Pentecost. Pentecost is the event that takes place 50 days after the Passover, and in our case, the Christian community, it's the 50 days after Easter. They're in Jerusalem, the disciples. They are still quite apprehensive about exposing themselves in public, so they're hidden away on this day. Festival of Passover is a time in Jerusalem when all of the diaspora of Judaism come in from all the nations of the world to celebrate this feast day in Jerusalem. So the place is packed with people. Remember what happens? The disciples are gathered in one place. The Spirit of God descends upon them as tongues as of fire. And they are filled with an incredible power and boldness, and they explode into the Solomon portico of the temple, and they begin to declare the incredible mighty works of God. And the miracle of the Pentecost is there were Jews from all over the world who spoke all the languages of the world, and everyone heard in their own language the mighty works of God. It was such a phenomenal experience to all of them that they wondered what was going on. Some even thought that the disciples early in the morning were in fact intoxicated. But Peter, in all of his boldness, begins to speak. No, we're not intoxicated, as you might think. And he begins to preach. And he says, "Remember the prophet Joel who talks about the day when the Holy Spirit will descend upon all flesh? This is that day. When your sons and daughters will prophesy, this is that day. When your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams, this is the day." And then goes on to talk about, remember the Jesus of Nazareth? And he points to them. It's very pointed. And he says, "The one whom you crucified. Well, God has raised him from the dead, and he is now seated at the right hand of God. And he is Lord and Messiah." And everyone who heard this was cut to the quick. Remember? And so they scream, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And Peter says, "Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus the Christ. Your sins shall be forgiven and you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then he says this verse. I want you to listen to this verse hard, because this is an incredible, powerful verse. "For the promise is for you, for your children, For all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord God calls to him. What makes this particular passage significant? We're going a little Bible study here. We're going deep. I'm taking you all the way back to Genesis. We're going all the way back to Abraham. Abraham in the original covenant. You see, Peter is every bit and much a part of this covenant, and this covenant is not broken. The circle is not broken. Remember the covenant God gave to Abraham back in Genesis 17. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your children, your offspring. After you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your children after you. The promise is for you and me, right here today, in this place. You are recipients and participants in the promise of God that began in Abraham. And through the power of Jesus Christ, now continues not just from a particular people, but to all the people. And we are all included. The promise is for you. The next is very important. And to your children. Listen hard. To your children. The covenant of God is a family place. The covenant of God is established for families. We are all in this together. Our children are a part of our life together. That is why we baptize children. They are very much a part, included in the covenant, love, and kingdom of God. The promise is for your children. Also says, those who are far away. No longer is the promise just for a particular people. It is for all people. In fact, it is for all whom God calls. Everyone whom God calls to him. Now that's something we all need to remember. It's not something that the pastor calls. It's not any one of us. God calls those into the kingdom. You have been called by God to be in this place. By the incredible providential grace of God, we are here together in this place, the community of Stonebridge. Now that's a powerful thought. The promise is for you and me, for our children, for those who are far away, everyone whom God calls. Now we're back at call. Call in the Latin is vocare. Call is vocation. We are called into vocation. A reminder from last week, what is vocation? It's a response you and I make with our complete total self to the call of God and neighbor. It is our total being that we give to God in response to God's call to us into community. The other thing from last week that I remind you of is that what we are called to do and what our lifelong work is about is to claim our purpose in life that is a part of the purpose of God. Reminder from last week. Purpose in our life that is a part of the purpose of God. Now this morning I'm going to give you a new definition of vocation. It comes from the Presbyterian minister and novelist. He is an acclaimed writer, the Frederick Buechner. You may remember that name. He has given us what is now a very popular definition of vocation. He says it like this. Vocation, it's the kind of work that God usually calls you to. It's the kind of work that you need most to do. And B, that the world most needs to have done. Now he gives you an example. And in his first example is, you really love your work. You love getting up every morning and you love your work. But your work happens to be designing deodorant commercials. Now, you've probably met requirement number A, but you probably missed out on meeting requirement B. Now, I had trouble trying to figure out a picture for this. I know a deodorant ad in church is probably not the best picture in the world. But then I had this one, and I thought, well, that's not appropriate either. But but it gets my point across. That little, see the little quote there at the bottom? It's an Elizabeth Taylor quote. Success is a great deodorant. It takes away all your past smells. All right, moving on. He's got another illustration, and this illustration has to be, suppose you are a doctor in a leper colony, and you probably met requirement A, but you hate it. You're depressed, and you're bored all the time. Well, not only did you not meet requirement B, but you're probably not doing your patients a whole lot of good either. So this is his point. What is our vocation? Well, it's when our deepest desires, our deepest needs, our deepest passions in life, and the world's deep needs come together. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. When I was 10 years old, we were at Cavanaugh United Methodist Church in Greenville. The person who worked in the youth department, who was the part-time volunteer youth director, was Durwood Selman. And Durwood was a science teacher. He taught science in the high school. And Durwood was an interesting guy. He was a bit nerdy, but he was a fascinating guy. He was a tinkerer. He loved to build stuff. And back in those days, when I was 10 years old, I thought I was going to be a scientist. I love sci-fi theater, and those. And my room was a laboratory. I had an extremely sophisticated chemistry set. It wasn't a set. It was a chemistry lab. And microscopes and telescopes. And Durwood got fascinated with that with me, and so he would give me some of his tinkering stuff. Like he would build Tesla coils that sparked all over the room. Or he would give me generators that do neon signs, and you could create those spark arcs that, you know, you've seen in the sci-fi movies. My room was just incredible. And it was Durwood. One day, on a Sunday afternoon, there was only two or three of us there for youth. Durwood comes and he brings this box of old, dirty old rocks. And he takes out this little black box-looking thing. And we're all looking at these rocks. And he says, do you ever wonder when God looks down on us, God may see something different than we see ourselves? He turns out the light and turns on that purple light. And those rocks transform immediately into brilliant colors. It was the first time I'd ever seen the purple light. It's the first time I'd ever seen an ultraviolet light. And he'd turn it off, ugly rocks. Flip it on, phew, brilliant colors. Do you ever wonder when God looks down on us what God sees? The real us with all of our colors. Now, from that time on, I have never had a problem with science and faith. it's not an issue for me. I can enjoy, appreciate, be fascinated by the marvels of modern science, from evolutionary biology to astrophysics, and it does not bother me. Because God sees things that the rest of us don't see. That's Durwood. I was 10 years old. The promise is to our children. None of us have any idea the impact that we have on the children of this congregation just by what they see in us. It's a powerful thing. It's part of the call. I could talk about others. I could talk about Chuck Webster, who was the director of the YMCA. He was a member of our church when I was 12. He taught me life-saving. I could talk about Ed Travis. Ed Travis was the Boy Scout executive for Greenville. When I was 12 and 13. And he had such an impact on my life as a little kid that when I was looking, when I was in a transition period about where my life was going to go, and the opportunity came for me to work for the Boy Scouts, I remembered Ed. I said, Ed did that. That was a... And the impact he had on me, and I said, I want to do that too. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord God calls. And that's all of us here in this room. So let us all claim our purpose in life that is part of the purpose of God. And when we do, we are also reclaiming the promise. Reclaiming the promise from the beginning of God's covenant with Abraham that is part of the promise of God. That's who we are. That's what we're about. That's what we're called to be. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.